The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Good morning, my name is Avril, and I welcome all of you who are listening to this service. I acknowledge that this is a very frightening and difficult time for the world and our community, and I hope that this service can offer you comfort as you participate in it, however you choose to do that. The fear and sorrow of Jesus' first disciples came to a startling end with the news of his resurrection. And even in the midst of our own time of fear and sorrow, we can rejoice with them at the astounding, unlikely good news that Christ is risen. As we gather, we affirm the diversity of our community represented in age, gender, sexuality, culture, and ability. We affirm that all people are welcome and trust that you will find this to be a safe place for you to grow in God's love and in the experience of a warm community. We are committed to loving God, growing together, partnering community, and sharing faith. We remember the original custodians of this land, the Wadawurrung, and ask for God's grace to join with them in being good stewards of this land, its waters, and diverse communities. As part of this service, there will be some music which has been recorded by organist Jeffrey Urquhart and chorister Catherine McLean from Wesley Uniting Church in Melbourne, and they've kindly shared that with us. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Risen in quiet and mysterious darkness before the chorus of the dawn. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Risen with glory and grace in reserve and authority beyond measure. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Risen to prove that violence is no solution. To offer us peace and life in all its fullness. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. The last laugh is God's laugh, for freedom comes beyond the cross. Peace comes beyond the violence. Friendship comes beyond the betrayal. Life comes beyond the crushing of life. The first laugh and the last laugh are God's. And God has made laughter for us. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us pray. What words will ever be enough, O God? What songs can we sing to shout aloud our praise? We thank you that in the resurrection of Jesus we have seen that peace will always defeat violence. Light will always defeat darkness. Love will always defeat hate. And life will always defeat death. The entire universe rejoices in this good news as the winter of death gives way to the summer warmth of life. And we join in the happy chorus, proclaiming with the whole creation, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Bible reading comes from the Gospel according to Matthew from chapter 28, beginning at the first verse. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Story by Antonia Jackson, illustrated by Giuliano Ferri. It was time for Passover. Jesus and his 12 disciples went to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival, as was the custom. As he rode toward the city gates, people waved palm tree branches to welcome him. Others spread their cloaks on the road ahead of him. "Praise the King who comes in the name of God," they shouted. When Jesus saw the festival market at the temple, he was upset. "This should be a house of prayer," he said, "but you have made it a place to make money." And he overturned the market stalls. The temple priests decided that they had to get rid of Jesus. "He is causing too much trouble," they said to each other. Jesus and his disciples gathered for the Passover meal. He shared some bread with them. "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." He gave them some wine. "This cup is God's covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. I will not be with you much longer. One of you will betray me." The disciples were shocked, but the one named Judas Iscariot had already agreed to hand Jesus over to the priests. That night, Jesus went with his disciples to an olive grove called the Garden of Gethsemane. He went off to pray alone and told three disciples to keep watch. "Dear Father God," he said, "I do not want to suffer. Yet let not what I want, but what you want be so." When Jesus returned, the disciples had fallen asleep. Judas arrived with a band of armed men. He stepped forward and kissed Jesus, a sign for the men to arrest him. Jesus' friend Peter was angry and drew his sword, cutting off the ear of the high priest's servant. But Jesus touched the man's ear and healed him. "Enough of this," he said. The armed men took Jesus away. Peter followed at a distance. Jesus was taken to the high priest's home and put on trial. Peter joined the servants in the courtyard there. One woman recognized him. "This man was with Jesus," she said. "I don't know him," Peter replied. Later, someone else recognized him, and then another. Both times, Peter denied knowing Jesus. Just then, a cock crowed, and Peter remembered what Jesus had told him. "Before the cock crows tonight, you will say three times that you don't know me." Peter went away and wept. The council of priests declared Jesus guilty. But of what? Of letting people believe he was the chosen king, the Messiah? They had no right to punish him for that. Instead, on Friday morning, they brought him to the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. "This man is a rebel," they claimed. Pilate was not convinced. "Let him go," he said. "I don't find him guilty of any crime." The crowds did not want Jesus to be set free. "Crucify him," they shouted at Pilate. Fearing a riot, Pilate agreed. The soldiers beat Jesus and mocked him. Then they made him carry a heavy wooden cross to the place of crucifixion. The soldiers crucified Jesus and two criminals either side of him. Then they divided his clothes between them. Jesus saw his mother, Mary, almost overcome with grief, and his disciple John standing close by. "Be a son to my mother and take care of her," he said. Not long after, he cried, "It is finished," and closed his eyes in death. Already the sun was setting and the Sabbath day of rest was beginning. Some of Jesus' friends took his body and placed it in a rock-cut tomb. Early on Sunday morning, two women went to the tomb to wrap Jesus' body properly. The stone covering the tomb's entrance had been rolled away. An angel was there. "Don't be afraid," the angel said. "Jesus is not here. He is risen. Go and tell his followers what I have told you." Later that day, two of Jesus' followers walked to the village of Emmaus, talking about everything that had happened to Jesus. A man joined them and explained that everything, even the crucifixion, was part of God's plan. They asked the man to join them to eat. He said a blessing and shared some bread with them. At last they realized he was Jesus, but suddenly he was gone. After that, Jesus appeared among his disciples and showed them his wounds. He shared one more meal with them on the shore of Lake Galilee. He spoke directly to Peter. "Do you love me?" he asked. "You know I do," replied Peter. Jesus asked him a second time and a third, as many times as Peter had denied knowing him on the night of the trial. But now Peter's love and loyalty were unshakable. "Take care of my flock of followers," Jesus said. "Tell all the world the good news of God's love, which is stronger than death." The end.
Today I'm going to introduce to you a new word. I think it will be new to at least most of you. It's the word eucatastrophe. And what it does is it adds the Greek word for good or well to the beginning of catastrophe. It's the same Greek word that we hear in eulogy, the good words we speak when someone has died. So, eucatastrophe. It was created by the author J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. And when he was writing about fairy stories, Tolkien said that all of them include a eucatastrophe, a good catastrophe, the sudden joy that comes in the midst of despair, the moment of unexpected deliverance. Tolkien wrote, "The birth of Christ is the eucatastrophe of man's history. The resurrection is the eucatastrophe of the story of the incarnation. This story begins and ends in joy. There is no tale ever told that men would rather find was true, and none which so many sceptical men have accepted as true on its own merits." So that's what we're celebrating today, a good catastrophe, that surprising moment when in the midst of their despair, the disciples hear the good news that their beloved friend has been raised from the dead. This is the happy ending that makes all other happy endings possible. God's raising of Jesus is, among other things, God's comment on the events of Good Friday. Jesus was killed by humans frightened by someone they didn't understand, someone who challenged the status quo. Jesus died crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" His life seemed to have been a failure. But in the resurrection, God affirms and improves of all that Jesus did. The one who came to call not the righteous but sinners was shown to have been doing what God wanted all along. The resurrection of Jesus is also the greatest case of civil disobedience in human history. When Rome executed rebels on the cross, it was using the worst form of execution it knew to discourage further rebellion. It expected that crucifying the leaders would end a movement. It also, at the very least, expected that those it crucified would stay dead. But God refuses to accept Rome's verdict on Jesus and raises him. The one that Rome intended to be dead is alive again, and the movement that was meant to die with him is reborn. So throughout history, when Christians have practiced civil disobedience, have disobeyed unjust laws, then we've got the best of all examples to follow. Jesus' resurrection isn't the only happy ending in this story. There's another one, smaller and less earth-shattering, but just as meaningful. When the women meet Jesus, he tells them, "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The disciples had failed Jesus. It wasn't just that Judas had betrayed him and paid for that betrayal with his death. When Jesus was arrested, all the disciples deserted him and fled, except for Peter. And Peter, the only one who didn't flee, denied Jesus three times before the cock crowed. We're told that the women had managed to stay faithful, observing everything that happened, and so it's right that they were rewarded with the first news of the resurrection. But even the women, we're told, watched the crucifixion from the distance. But here, by referring to his disciples as his brothers, Jesus shows them that all that has been forgiven and forgotten. The past is past. The disciples will be able to look forward to a meeting with Jesus in Galilee, with their slates clean and their failures forgiven. And this too is part of the happy ending of the resurrection. Today, Easter Sunday, is a day of celebration. It's the story of an apparent defeat turning into a great victory, of sorrow becoming joy, of triumph, of life over death, and of love over hate. And this year, of all years, in the midst of a pandemic, when we're unable to gather together to celebrate, we especially need to hear this message. When we can only gather spiritually, when we see disease and death all around us, when life is no longer as secure and safe as we thought it to be only months ago, we are still given news of a profoundly good and deeply unlikely new catastrophe, and we can still celebrate it. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Let us pray our prayer for the time of COVID. Loving God, we know that nothing can separate us from you. Surround us with your love during this time of crisis. Be with every member of the Western Heights community. Give us the courage, the patience, and the kindness that we will need in the weeks ahead. Reassure us that we are still gathered together through you, even when we cannot meet. We pray for all those working in the community through this crisis, all the medical staff, the emergency services workers, the supermarket employees and freight workers, and those who must find new ways of working from home. We pray for those who have lost their jobs, who are facing an uncertain future. We pray for the homeless and those in insecure housing, for whom self-isolation will be almost impossible, and for those whose homes are not safe places and who will face domestic violence during this time. We pray for our leaders, for Scott Morrison and Daniel Andrews, for Chief Medical Officers Brendan Murphy and Brett Sutton, and all those who must make the difficult decisions to keep us safe. Loving God, we know that we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Help us to continue to be that one body in this difficult time. In the name of your Son, our Lord, Mother, and Friend, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord of life, you walk this journey with us and through us. Lead us, Lord, lead on. Journeying within and wrestling with the world. Lead us, Lord, lead on. Lead us to risk, to grow, and to tread the path you have opened for us. Lead us, Lord, lead on. And let us rejoice that every place is your place. In the name of Christ, the risen one. Amen.